Our guest on Headliner today is Michael Cullen of Milwaukee, one of the Milwaukee 14. Mr. Cullen was one of the participants in the burning of draft records in downtown Milwaukee in September of 1968. In March of this year, he was convicted in federal court of destroying draft records and interfering with the administration of the Selective Service Act. This past week, he appeared before Judge Myron Gordon for sentencing on that conviction. Today's program was recorded prior to that sentencing, so as we talk right now, we don't know for sure what type of sentence will be handed out. I'd like to also point out that the reason that we've recorded this interview prior to the sentencing is that you have said, Mr. Cullen, through your attorney, that if you are sentenced to prison, you want to start that term immediately, even though Judge Gordon said he was prepared to grant a 30-day stay so that you could make appropriate plans. If you were to go to prison immediately, it would preclude such an interview as we're involved in right now. Mike, it's been a year and a half now, about, since the burning of draft records. Looking back on what was done and the consequences that you will have to face if you are sentenced to prison, was what you and the 13 others did worth it?
Oh, absolutely. In my own life, I can't speak in terms of any great claim that this movement and this action actually ended the war in Vietnam. It was never intended to end the war in Vietnam. It wasn't even intended to stop the development of military society like ours is today. But it was intended to raise consciousness. It was intended to confront human beings on the fact of what our lives are about and what life is about itself. And that the paper symbolically burned was basically to point out that often material things come before the grandeur and the beauty of human life, and that we are in a process today, particularly us as a nation, in a war that is destroying not just part of the world and leading us possibly to a third world war, but it's destroying the very heart and soul of this society. The possibility of us continuing to be free men and free women is really now at jeopardy. And it's really brought about by that war in many, many ways, because more and more we see the world scene, it's one great nation pitted against another, and it eventually seems that one day we're going to be in a real chaotic situation. So the claim I can make for the action is very little in terms of what it has done to prevent that, except I believe we have posed some real moral questions for men and women in this society. And I think our commitment to that moral stand, in a sense, is shown forth in the way we are willing to give our freedom up, as we said in the statement when we burnt those files. And so here I am a year and a half later after the action, and now going off and just beginning my prison sentence. And I'm beginning my prison sentence because I am saying that I am so serious that I am still willing to jeopardize my freedom and my family's freedom at this time, because I think we must I think we must speak with our lives. Never before has I believe mankind ever been challenged as he is at this time. And that's global. That's not just here in the American scene. That's something that's global. It's particularly, of course, attuned to America because we are involved so deeply and so heavily on the world scene. And so, of course, we have to speak so very, very clearly here. But the thing is that violence has become a possession of mankind. And violence is not breeding us a new future. It's showing its old face again, that it's not putting roots down in what we might consider to be something worthy of man and woman. And so my commitment at even at this late hour is still a radical commitment to nonviolence, a nonviolence that is as in a sense demanding as a war is demanding on a soldier's life. Nonviolence will demand our lives, but we must stick by it when it seems like everybody else is turning to violence. We have to become disciplined people. We have to develop the ideas of skills. If, for example, if there was a real crisis in this country, for example, the stock market was to go down and the industry went out, most people couldn't even survive in this society. I mean, we just have become so dependent on mechanical things and technology that if we hadn't that technology, we'd paralyze almost. And I'm saying we have to become disciplined disciplined people. We have to have a thesis that is truly ours, not somebody else's, not some other society's. It's got to be an American one. And then we have to set out to implement that thesis. And that's not necessarily a given philosophy. It's going to have to be unique to this society and respect, in a sense, to the history of this society.
Haven't you, though, polarized the various groups even further by doing this? Have you accomplished anything, really?
I think we polarize. I think you must polarize, but I don't think we ever have violated any person's right personally. We have not inhibited any person's human life. The action itself was really an act of jeopardy on our lives. It brought our lives into question, and we stood there with our own lives, naked as we were, against all of almost all odds, knowing that we were going to be arrested, knowing we would be sentenced for a great portion of our lives. And it was really a commitment to say to life, in a sense, and saying that the war in Vietnam, the continuous lying in this society, ends with this. Ends for us, not for anybody else. It ends for me, Mike Cullen, you know. And I'm saying no more of that. No longer will I be silent. And I know by saying that, of course, I am jeopardizing my life. I'm jeopardizing my place because I'm an immigrant in this society. But I don't have to have the Constitution to make me realize anymore that this is what it is to be a human being. Because the Constitution, in a sense, is only supposed to lend circumstances, make the environment possible for us to be more human. And I have come to an incredible awareness about what I think it is to be a human being, a unique person, free person, of which I think every human being on this earth has that right now. And wherever I find my life, wherever it will be, whether it's in jail, or whether it's in Ireland, or it's another country, or in America here, I am going to be standing up for what I know to be right. I hope never to violate any person physically. You know, I never harm anybody or lead anybody morally wrong. And that's why my life is dedicated to nonviolence, because I see the capacity to love people is that even though they may disagree with you incredibly, you have to have the roots in the fact that they are your brothers and your sisters. And that, of course, is when it's hard most of all, because you're going to have brothers on the left and the right criticizing you, and it's very hard to stand. But you've got to, it's who I am, and I'd be a fool to tell you that I'm something else.
Would you do the same thing today?
Well, it's not a matter of doing the same act. You know, for me, it's not a matter. Circumstances today are different, but would have done the act again if the circumstances were like the time that we did it in. I would say yes, absolutely. I could never deny the act. I think the act had a real significance for Milwaukee. I don't like to make too much claim for it because I don't think we should. I think we should speak very generally about it because it's too dangerous to make claims for these things. I think it was important. It was really much more important to us as persons than it was for anybody else, although I think it polarized and it asked people to ask questions of their own lives.
How do you feel about the possibility of going to jail?
Well, of course, it's not hard. I've got a wife and three children. I mean, not easy, I should say. It's a wife. I've got a wife and three children, and I love them very dearly, and I would like to be part of their lives, like anybody would. And I'm belonging to a community that I think is dedicated to making our Milwaukee a more human community by particularly dedicating our lives to the poor of this city. But I would like to, I feel it's important to go at this time. I think it's important to show people that we're not playing games, that we're very serious with our lives. And I'm going for that very reason. It's very hard to talk about it in a sense. I am psychologically, I think, as prepared as anybody can be. I'm resigned to the fact that I may be in prison for the next 2 years or three, who knows, and that I have already prepared a certain amount of reading that I'd like to read. I'm hoping I'm able to get that material into jail. I think jail is going to be a very unique experience for me. I'm not saying it's going to be easy on me. I'm a very kind of person who likes freedom and likes to be able to move and do and be creative, and I think that's going to be stifled and prevented in jail, as jails are meant to be that. They're not there to be for you to be creative and to be rehabilitated. I mean, anybody who's in jail will tell you that you're not rehabilitated in jail. But the thing is, I think it holds a very special meaning for me. It has a religious meaning for me too, rather than just a political meaning. But it is political in a sense that I think we have to show people that the price of being nonviolent is as much as a soldier is willing to give in his own life. That we must be willing to give up our lives, but remain nonviolent, because we know men must change and attitudes must change.
Don't you feel you could have could be of greater value to the peace movement outside of prison?
Oh, I think it's too easy to get into that game, that rhetoric will change minds. To me, the fall, for example, why the church has failed now to speak, or why people are not listening to the church, for example, anymore, is that the church, in many, many instances, is not a sign of what it says it is. You know, it's not an example. And when my life is no longer an example of what I want the world to be, then I think I really don't have much to say. And it's too easy to end up with great revolutionary rhetoric. And I say revolutionary means it's so radical in a sense that most people don't relate to it. But it's easy to end up there, and it's too safe. But it's harder to pay with your own body and your own bones and your own flesh for what you really believe and what you want other men to be. And so I, of course, I would respect, for example, a man, people who really put, wherever they are, you know, if they're willing to pay with their lives what they're saying with their mouths, and in essence, it's much more important to put your body where your words are. And I have said that for now a long time that it's going to demand personal sacrifice in order to bring about the kinds of significant and hopeful changes that are needed for this society, and of course for the world community as well, and free people. And that's going to demand personal sacrifice. And of course the soldier is probably saying the same thing. But I'm believing in a new method, a method that I think is the only method that's going to keep us free, and that's nonviolence.
Realistically, though, Mike, you're going to be put away for possibly several years. Can you expect to accomplish anything in prison?
I can't say. I'm not going to romanticize prison. The only thing I can expect of prison is going to be hard on me. I'm hoping I can grow in prison, though. I hope I can remain whole as a person. I think the qualities of being human is to be able to celebrate your life. I think the qualities of being human is to be able to laugh at yourself. I think the qualities of being human is to be able to humanize the enemy. I think they're the three commitments that I feel that I want to contribute. And I'm hoping I can do that in jail just as I could do it in any other society. So I'm hoping to remain whole and remain a full person. I'd probably be shaken by a lot of the experiences that I find in prison, because I think prisons in many ways shouldn't exist the way they exist today. I mean, I think they're brutalizing institutions. Putting a man in jail for 20 years for whatever crime is absolutely insane, because it's not stressing the quality of life and the possibilities of changing lives.
I'm sorry, Mike, our time is up. Our guest on Headliner today has been Michael Cullen, a member of the Milwaukee